Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. And if you're familiar with our Charisma publications, you know that the struggle to see the ending of abortion is something that we care deeply about. And periodically, we have the privilege of hosting individuals and ministries that are on the front lines to see abortion ended in our nation. And today we have one of those individuals here to tell us about everything that she's doing and working on, and a special event that's coming up real soon. You're going to want to be a part of it. So stick around for our interview in just a moment.
Our nation needs highly skilled teachers, now more than ever. So at Liberty University, we're making world-class teacher training as accessible and affordable as possible. Become a licensed teacher in one of the nation's only 100% online Bachelor of Education programs for as low as $182 per credit hour. Our transfer-friendly program covers the cost of your learning materials and prepares you to thrive, both inside the classroom and out. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. And today, we have Karen Garnett. She is the Vice President of Heroic Media and the Executive Director for the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. She's been engaged in the struggle to see the ending of abortion for 32 years, and she's organizing an event that you're going to want to be a part of, and so we're just so thrilled and honored to have Karen on the podcast today. Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It is such an honor to be with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. And like I said, here at Charisma, we care deeply about the struggle for the ending of abortion. Of course, that extends to both the children that are unborn, as well as the mothers and the fathers and the families that are involved. We know that abortion affects the entire family unit, all those that are involved. And we're so thankful for what you're doing and what you're working on. And so I know that there's an event coming up, the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. So why don't you start off by just telling us what the mission of the event is?
Yes, thank you so much. Our company, our parent company, Heroic Media, we run internet ads every day to directly compete against Planned Parenthood and abortion facilities. And the National Prayer Luncheon for Life originally had been a counter to Planned Parenthood, same day, same time, countering Planned Parenthood annual luncheon here in Dallas, where we are based. But the new vision for the National Prayer Luncheon for Life is, especially in the world of COVID, after we had 3,000 people attending last year's luncheon in person 5 days before the pandemic, is to shift our focus outward away from it being a fundraiser for Heroic Media's mission, but really being a unity initiative for the pro-life movement as a whole. So we have a limited in-person attendance happening, but we have a large opportunity for a virtual audience to join together for what we're calling an hour of power, prayer-centric event, where we have a number of prayer leaders and speakers who will be offering prayers and words of inspiration, and giving recognition and honoring the amazing work of some of the frontline pro-life organizations. We'll be giving the National Prayer Luncheon for Life Pro-Life Impact Award and a Pro-Life Impact Grant of $50,000, and then a Pro-Life Impact Grant of $20,000 and a Pro-Life Impact Grant of $15,000 to three of the five organizations that were nominated and voted on by pro-lifers around the country. And they will be announced live at the end of our one-hour luncheon program this Friday, 12 to 1 Central Time. And we just want to invite everybody to come together with us in prayer and unity to save lives from abortion.
It's amazing. And like I said, the more attention and engagement that we could have on this topic, the better. Of course, in our nation, it seems like there are moments or seasons where this topic rises to the forefront, especially in the Christian community, where there's a high level of engagement, you know, a high level of prayer and intercession, and sometimes it wanes. and goes away. We know that the topic and the subject hasn't gone away, and it's people like yourself and your organizations that are keeping engaged in the struggle to see the ending of abortion. Now, I know you have several different individuals that are going to be a part of this event coming up on Friday, including Alveda King. She's an evangelist and niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What are some of the other pro-life organizations that are participating in this event? And I know some of these are being considered as recipients for the grants that you mentioned.
Yes, thank you so much. And you're right, Jeff. We have been in this battle in our country now for 48 years since the January 22nd, 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. And we know that we have lost now over 60 million preborn children to the tragedy of abortion, and it has to end. So this this opportunity that we have, this luncheon, which is the culmination of a year-round task force, year-round prayer initiative, includes Alveda King. She is not only the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but she is the executive director of Civil Rights for the Unborn, and she's like the perfect representative for that organization and that initiative. Alveda will be speaking and praying. We have David B. Wright, who is the founder and former CEO of 40 Days for Life. We have Bishop Edward Burns of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Dallas here in the area where we'll be doing the live luncheon and the broadcast, the live stream broadcast. He will be praying. And we have Bridget Van Means, who is the president and vision leader of Thrive St. Louis, which is an amazing network of pregnancy help centers. Bridget's work and her team, they have helped drive the last Planned Parenthood abortion facility out of the state of Missouri. And whenever Bridget talks, God's word just comes through Bridget. I mean, she's prophetic, incredible. Then we have Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, who is the president of the Vida Initiative, which is a specific outreach towards Spanish-speaking pro-life people. And I will be speaking as well. And then in terms of the representatives coming from our five nominated organizations for this year's Pro-Life Impact Award and the grants, we have Abby Johnson, who's the head of And Then There Were None, the organization that reaches inside the abortion facilities to try to love the workers out. And they have, your listeners can go to our website, which is nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org, to register for the free online event this Friday, but also to click on to read the profiles that we have on each of these five organizations. They have helped over 574 workers leave, including seven former abortionists, and even the work of their testimony has helped close 26 abortion facilities through the work with state legislatures since they've come out of the abortion industry. So Abby will be there representing her organization. We have Robin Chambers, who is the executive director of the Department for Child Advocacy at Focus on the Family. And a lot of people didn't know this. We didn't know this. They run the Option Ultrasound program, which has resulted in 450,000 decisions for life. So Robin will be representing Focus on the Family. We have Lauren Muzica, who is the president and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. They have helped over 12,000 moms turn away from abortion and choose life on the sidewalk in front of the abortion facilities when they've had scheduled appointments. They have 202 locations now with Sidewalk Advocates on site. Lauren will be with us from Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Kristen Hawkins is the head of Students for Life of America. She's not able to be with us in person, but two representatives from Students for Life will be with us. Lauren Castillo and Jordan Horner are coming in from Denver. Students for Life, amazing work that they have done, really with the young generation most targeted by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry to have abortions. So part of the work that they have done is they now have over 1,200 chapters, Students for Life chapters on campuses, which is 6-1 against the number that Planned Parenthood has. So Planned Parenthood has 200, Students for Life has over 1,200, and they measure mind-changed rate when they're engaging in dialogue with young people who have been so influenced by the culture for, you know, abortion. And then lastly, we have Tanya Gillette, who is coming representing Susan B. Anthony List, which is headed by Marjorie Dannenfelser. She is the vice president of development. So all five nominated organizations will be represented, and it's going to be a big surprise as to who will be getting these grants and this award, because it will be announced live at the end of the program. So, you know, not only are we coming together to pray together, but also to honor these organizations, all five of them. We honor all five of them. They'll stay on our website year round. We will have each of their a 2-minute mission video from each one of them. And I also want to give a shout out to one of our major sponsors of the event. It is supportafterabortion.com, and they are based out of Florida, doing amazing, amazing work to help connect the people who have been impacted by abortion to the healing that they need. Their mission is to end the demand for abortion by healing those impacted by abortion. So they are an amazing organization as well. So it's truly a unity event, and to help shine the spotlight on these organizations doing amazing work. And if I can go ahead and share that this first year for the nominations, our company chose the five nominees because we publish Pro-Life Magazine 4 times a year, where we actually do run, you know, we do research and we profile effective pro-life organizations who are reporting, you know, measurable and significant impact. The reporting of results is really important because we have at least 5,000 pro-life organizations across the country when you count local, national, local, state, and national. And there are just who has time, right, to research all of these organizations. So we're doing that as a service to our benefactors and to others as new people come into the movement all the time. Next year, we are going to open up the nominations process to the country, just as we've opened up the voting this year to the country. That's where we're excited to hear about pro-life organizations that we may not know about at all. And they may be doing amazing, effective work, but we don't know about them. So it really is an opportunity to breathe some new life in a new way into our movement that has, yeah, we've been laboring for so many years, and show battles that are being won until we ultimately get the ball into the end zone and win the war.
You know, what you're saying is amazing. And, you know, all of these candidates for the grant, the awards, all of them seem incredibly worthy to receive support and finances. And it's amazing that you're facilitating this and making this happen. I'm particularly encouraged by one of the groups that you'd mentioned that, you know, specifically trying to reach younger people, and not just those that are, you know, considering abortion, but just the people's mindsets, you know, around this topic, because, you know, this is the abortion machine. It's an industry. And in many ways, it is a business. And there's intense marketing that is happening in our nation, targeting our young people, not just our young people, to normalize and to create a mass adoption of abortive techniques and procedures. And so this war on the mind and how we are engaging with this topic, how our young people, whether or not this up and coming generation is going to be one that has a view of life that's more in line with the kingdom of God, or more in line with a humanistic, you know, utilitarianism where life is cheap and expendable. It's such a big deal. Now, you're passionate about this. You've given your life to it. So I got to know, our listeners want to know, what caused you to jump in to the midst of fighting for life in your own life?
Thank you, Jeff. Gosh, I can definitely say the Holy Spirit. You know, God reaches down and touches us in such a way that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're being called. And just to touch on what you just said, I was 10. I was 10 years old when the Roe versus Wade decision was handed down. So I did live in this country, at least my first 10 years, when abortion was not legal. It was not the law of the land. And yet this generation 48 years since, that's all they've known. They've only known abortion to be, you know, quote, legal, but it doesn't make it right. And so we absolutely have to continue to fight. So my call came, as I mentioned, I was 10 when Roe came down. I lived in the state of Virginia. I was in a very pro-life church, and there wasn't a moment that went by that we didn't know that this had been imposed by the Supreme Court of the United States. I remember the pastor at our church, red in the face, pounding his fist on the podium, just saying, "How can it be possible that it is legal to kill little babies?" And they asked all of our parents to sign a petition to Congress right there in our church. And in the sanctuary, in the church sanctuary, they passed out, it was very strong at the time because it had just happened, but they passed out abortion is murder bumper stickers, and that went on the back of my family's white station wagon. So that was kind of the beginning for me. I love babies. I'm the third of four children. That was in 73. In 1979, I moved here to Dallas, the city where Roe began. And I'm a member of a charismatic prayer group, and it was where we had people at the prayer meeting inviting us to go and pray outside the local abortion facilities. Operation Rescue was operating here in Dallas, and I was a new mom, had my first child. I have five children, a daughter and four sons. But my heart was just absolutely burning that I needed to go, and I felt that call to go and pray out on the sidewalk for the first time. I did that in the early 1990, and then I was commissioned as the founding executive director of our local pro-life organization called the Catholic Pro-Life Committee as a 30-year-old, and I've been at it ever since. I was in that position for 22 years. We have ministry on the sidewalk. We have healing after abortion retreats. We have education going into the schools. We have walking with moms, partnering with pregnant moms, networking with the pro-life pregnancy centers and adoption agencies and maternity homes. And then God called me in 2017 to move over here to Heroic Media to fight on the national level. And in the midst of all of that, the way God wrote my story is that I became close friends with Norma McCorvey, who was the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade here in Dallas, the city where Roe began. Norma came out of the abortion industry in 1995 with her conversion to Christianity. And I went to my first March for Life with Norma in 2000. And then when she was in her final week in February of 17, her daughter asked me if I would come, and I spent three nights, overnights with her in the hospital and in her hospice room, just helped praying at her bedside, representing the pro-life movement, just loving her and helping her to get ready to pass through the veil. Even the morning that she passed, her family asked for, you know, songs and prayers. I had been playing on my phone at her bedside, and they laid the phone on Norma's chest, and those prayers of the church and comfort songs like "The Lord's My Shepherd" were playing on Norma's chest when she passed. So her daughter asked me to give a eulogy at her funeral the following week, and it was just a huge honor. I do want to say there was a very strange documentary that came out last year claiming that Norma had a deathbed confession and that, you know, she had reversed her commitment to overturning Roe. And we don't know what was going on with all of that, except to say probably creative editing. I did a lot of interviews around that, but we know of Norma's dedication, absolute dedication to overturning the case, which bore her name and caused her so much grief. Yeah. She had no idea 60 million would die from the Roe decision. And I even have a text from her daughter, you know, the week of her death and following, getting ready for the funeral, you know, just reiterating, this is from her daughter, her dedication to overturning and you know, protecting the children.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, that's my story. We all have a story. We're all called to do something, pray, get involved, do whatever we can, because this is the greatest civil rights, you know, issue of our time, the greatest social justice issue of our time, to protect these precious preborn children who are being denied their inalienable right to life, but also to protect moms and the dads who are so harmed by abortion because it is against God's will and it is unnatural to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And, you know, my strong sense right now is that there's somebody listening right now that their heart is breaking and they go, God, we have to do something. And, you know, your story is one where you followed the promptings and the leadings of the Lord one step after the other, one foot after the other, and it led you to where you are today. And, you know, if you're open to it, I'd love it if you could pray for our audience that they would follow that prompting of the Lord, because I believe that there's a listener whose heart is burning right now, and who knows what God will do with a single person's yes. But before we do that, again, I just want to draw attention. It's this Friday, the National Prayer Luncheon for Life, which is a call to prayer and unity for the ending of abortion. It's a free online event happening Friday, April 30th, 12 to 1 p.m. Central Time. So if you're listening on the East Coast, that's at 1 p.m., but it's 12 p.m. Central Time. Karen, where do they go to register or to take part in the event?
Go to nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org. That is our website, and you click the button there to register for the free virtual event to be with us. And we just opened a brand new National Prayer Luncheon for Life Facebook page, and people should be able to go to the Facebook page to register as well, linked to the website. But the website is the place to go, nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org, to join with us in prayer and unity. And again, I can't thank you enough, Jeff, for giving us the opportunity to share this prayer opportunity and this call to prayer to your listeners, because we just need to come together as never before to continue this battle until we win enough battles to where we have won the war.
That's right. And one that requires perseverance, and that we would persevere to the end to see God's will accomplished for the ending of abortion in our day. Karen, would you pray for our listeners before we close our podcast together?
I would be honored. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves before you. We bow down before you. We praise you for your greatness. God, you are the creator and the author of life. You are the Lord and giver of life. You are the God of life. And Lord, we just repent before you for the sin of abortion that has been raging. It is raging sin that has been happening in our beloved country for 48 years now. We repent to you, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness and your mercy for the more than 60 million precious preborn lives made in your image and likeness who have lost their lives through the tragedy of abortion. But Lord, we thank you so much for the many, many, many victories that have been realized even in this battle and this struggle over these years. We thank you for all the pregnancy centers that have helped mothers choose life. We thank you for the organizations like Heroic Media who are first line of defense online, competing against Planned Parenthood with advertising. We thank you, Lord, for supportafterabortion.com, for providing the intake to facilitate healing for those who have been adversely impacted by abortion. We pray for our 5 nominated organizations for this National Prayer Luncheon for Life, specifically, Lord, and then there were none, and focus on the family: Sidewalk Advocates for Life, Students for Life of America, Susan B. Anthony List, and the thousands of pro-life organizations engaged in this battle across the country at the local, state, and national level. Father, Lord, Holy Spirit, please pour down your graces and your blessings upon the pro-life movement and every pro-life person who is listening to our prayer today, that you would stir their hearts to never give up, to not get discouraged in this battle. You are the victor, Jesus. Let us keep our eyes fixed on you as we persevere each and every day until this battle is ultimately won and preborn children are protected once again. We ask for your blessing on the National Prayer Luncheon for Life this Friday, and that it would give you glory and serve your purposes. And I pray for blessings on Charisma Media, Charisma News, and all the listeners, and on Jeff. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Karen, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We just say yes and amen for the grace and fruitfulness over the National Prayer Luncheon for Life happening this Friday. For all of our listeners, make sure to visit nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org to register, be a part, and see God's kingdom advance in this much-needed area. Karen, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and God bless
you. God bless you. You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. Our guest today was Karen Garnett, the Executive Director for the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. Please make sure to share the episode, subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. It's the way that we can grow our podcast and have the message of God's kingdom spread. God bless.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.